Hello and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a brand new breaking news special. Obviously, you've heard the news. Activision has announced that they will be opening up a new studio called Elsewhere Entertainment. But you know what's incredible is the people that are attached to this studio are big veterans of the industry. They've worked on some really big AAA IPs. We're going to get into that. And of course, we'll see how long the conversation goes before, because obviously I had pitched another show and, well, like breaking news, this has taken precedent and we're going to get into it because I know there's a lot of people in the chat already here. So thank you so much for popping in. Some people are like, hey, I wonder if there's going to be some Tango devs that are going to go over to this new studio. And the answer is probably not, because one, where the studio is compared to where Tango was, which was in Japan, and one is Bethesda. This is now Activision. Now, could there be some switching between the platform holders? Potentially, but I don't think that's the case. I think that this is a studio that has already been in the works. And as a matter of fact, C Money, who's here with me today, has a great theory on that. C Money, what's going on, brother?
What is up, brother, man? Have we had a breaking news special on Thursday?
I don't think so. Usually it's a Tuesday or Wednesday, right?
Yeah, I don't feel like we've gotten one quite yet. So I'm very excited that it's popping right now. And I'm so excited to get into this because this news gives me everything that I needed. And we're going to talk and get deeper into it. But yeah, it makes everything makes sense now.
Well, sure. I mean, listen, there's a whole lot of highs and lows in the last couple of weeks, right? Last week, we dealt with the disappointment and the shuttering of four studios. One of which, again, I'm never going to sign off on sanctions for Tango. I think that the studio, unfortunately, didn't have anything in the works. They were pitching, obviously, Hi-Fi Rush 2, which I think would have been brilliant. The fact that studio doesn't exist and that we're never going to get an Evil Within 3 or a Ghostwire Tokyo 2. Or, of course, Hi-Fi Rush 2 is disappointing.
IP still owned.
The IP is still owned. So, yes, they could, in fact. Yes, that's true. That's a great point. Microsoft does own the IP. Could they give it to someone else to do? Well, that's possible. But, obviously, like in business, you got to move forward. And, again, this is big business is what it is. I don't agree with it. I don't like it. I've already said my piece on it. But, since then, well, like the gaming news usually does see money, we've seen a big shift, right? We saw that Fallout 4 got its 4K 60 update, right? We had that happen for the Xbox Series X and S and the PS5. It looks stunning. It has a ton of visual options that go from 30 frames to 40 frames to 60 frames. We had the big update yesterday for Starfield. And I'm here to tell you, folks, if you stepped away, get back in there because holy shit, does it look incredible. I mean, wow. And again, like I said, for me, I've never had a TV like I have currently that supports VRR, and it looks stunning. Well, let's break down the breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. This comes the way of us from Jez Corden of Windows Central, where Jez has been in the news quite a bit lately. Obviously, he had that thing yesterday with WCCF Tech, which we covered on Primetime Gaming last night. I also made a little bit of a short of it. So if you don't want to watch the whole 2-hour show, you can go watch the diced up part of it. So it makes it easier viewing for you. Obviously today, Jez back in the news as he does regularly. And this is what he had to say. Breaking news. Microsoft's Activision team has revealed a new studio called Elsewhere Entertainment. Now, why this is interesting is who is attached to this team. Well, according to Wario64, and of course, thanks so much for C Money for forwarding this to me because I did not see this. He goes on to say Activision opens new studio, Elsewhere Entertainment, to develop a new narrative-based, genre-defining AAA franchise. The studio is based in Warsaw, Poland. Okay? But what Activision had to say, and this is very interesting, folks. The talented team at Elsewhere Entertainment consists of a collection of storytelling experts who credits include The Last of Us, Uncharted, The Witcher 3, Cyberpunk, Destiny, Tom Clancy's The Division, and Far Cry. I mean, that is a crazy, hefty list.
Wild.
That it's giving me goosebumps. See, Money, let's talk about this, man. This is big news.
Let's talk about it indeed. Listen, obviously, all that stuff happened. You know, it was a big deal to a lot of people. I understand a lot of crazy stuff went down. But I mean, we see where it played out, right? Like we see what's happening here, right? Xbox, when they did those things, they didn't do it like Square's doing it, where no one's talking about it because it's Square and not Xbox. But they didn't do it like Square's doing it because they just need to get rid of people. They didn't do it like PlayStation did it, where they just needed to get rid of people. Xbox had to do what they did, and in there they told you why they did it and what was going to be the benefit from doing that. And they told you that they were going to be able to invest heavily in the other games that they have going on. They were going to do new IP, all this other stuff. And now, again, further cementing the fact that Xbox is just doing what needs to be done to further their business and to further our games that we're going to be getting, right? Like how many games we're going to be getting, what's going to be coming to us. They literally just showed us right now. And again, I know people are going to say Activision. Let's be clear. This is all Xbox. I don't use the names of Bethesda or Activision or any of that stuff. None of that matters. It's all Xbox, right? So Xbox is opening up a brand new studio with top tier talent, right? These are people who worked on some of the games that I personally love. So when I see this, I say to myself, wow, look at them going out here and showing that this was not out of weakness that they closed studios. This wasn't out of desperation that they closed studios. This here shows that they are looking to further invest. And, you know, listen, this is obviously a brand new studio, so it's going to take time for whatever this game is to formulate and to come out. But this is the beauty of Xbox. We have so many studios making so many games that we are getting starting next week. Was it 5 days?
It's in 5 days, next Tuesday,
Holy
brother.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Starting in 5 days.
We forgot about that, right?
Yeah, yeah. Hellblade 2 is coming. And that's it. This is the beginning of forever for Xbox, right? This is the beginning of them coming out, releasing a huge game. Again, we're not talking numbers, right? It's a niche demographic who's going to be into this game, right? A lot of people will play it, but I think purchasing it maybe is not going to be as high. Doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference. At the end of the day, all that matters is that they're producing games for us to enjoy, yep. Right? And the onslaught is starting in 5 days, right? We have that. Then we have June Showcase. I'm sure something's going to drop. I don't know what it is. Okay, but something's going to drop around that time that they're going to give us. And then you still have the games that we know about that need a slot. And then we know there's two other games that Matt Booty referenced that are coming out this year that are going to need a slot sometime. We have still like 10 games or 8 games or 9 games that have to find a slot to release in 9 months. You know what I'm saying? In 6 months, yeah. Right? In 6 months, we got like 8 or 9 games that have to find a place. We're going to be getting games every single month, plus the games we know that are going directly into Game Pass. This is phenomenal. And this right here, again, I hope that all of the people who were very upset about people losing jobs are going to put the same energy into thanking Xbox for opening a new studio and hiring people and giving people jobs as well, right? So I hope we see both sides of the coin, right? Because it's only fair. Like some people lost their job, but some people are gaining their job, right? So let's go ahead and make sure that we're going to be you know, congratulative for what they're doing now, right? Because if you want to give them smoke, then you, in order to keep it balanced, right, the praise has to be just as equal to how hard you were going in the other direction, all right? That's the way it balances out, right? Because they are doing amazing things now with the amount of teams that they have, the amount of employees that they're supporting to make games for us. Because at the end of the day, man, that's what we're here for, right? It's about the games. And I got to tell you, man, The Last of Us, Uncharted, if you guys follow me at all on my team, on my channel, you know that I make no bones about it. Last of Us is one of my favorite games. Love Last of Us. Love the Uncharted series. So the fact that they're coming over is crazy. You know, that people who worked on those games. The Witcher, you got CD Projekt Red people, the people who made The Witcher, Cyberpunk. Come on, man. These are storytellers. These are people who are going to give us a dope-ass game. And it says it right there. It's going to be a narrative-driven game. I'm so pumped, man. Xbox is going to be hitting every type of game, dude. It's insane, bro.
Well, you know what's interesting, C-Money, to your point, is you mentioned the narrative-based games, right? Now, let's just look at Xbox as a whole for a second, right? Currently, they have multiplayer unlock, right? They got Halo, they got Call of Duty, right? Fantastic. They got Gears, if you like Gears multiplayer. They have the racing genre locked down, right? Right. Now, maybe Forza Motorsport wasn't your bag, but the reality, and at least for me, that has taken over first place in that race is Horizon. And Horizon right. 5 continues to grow and grow and grow. And we are on the cusp of a Horizon 6 being announced. And I have a feeling, and so does Fuzzy Belvedere. If you're out there, Fuzzy, I love you, that this is going to be in Fuzzy Japan. Fuzzy Fuzz. It's going to be in Japan.
This would be the year of Japan, bro.
Right? Yeah, it would be the year of Japan because obviously we finally got an Assassin's Creed going to Japan. Assassin's and Creed hello, crazy. That looks dope. Yes.
It looks crazy, yo.
But oh my God. They also have the RPG
locked.
The genre is locked down, right? You own Obsidian.
Western RPGs.
You own InXile Entertainment. You own Bethesda. And in all of those three studios, you got the likes of Fallout and, you got Fallout New Vegas 2 potentially being shopped around. You know, we've been hearing about that maybe being a thing, right? So they have that now. Now, Hellblade 2 comes out next week. That's narrative-based. That's the hashtag just one that Cognito has been talking about for years, right? Well, you have that coming out. You have South of Midnight coming out. South of Midnight is also going to be very narrative-based. Now, it's going to look different, right? It's going to have a different art to it, but that doesn't mean it's not a narrative-based game. And now, we know they're cooking some other stuff up there. Gears is on the way, narrative-based, third person, over the shoulder, right? That's that adult-themed content that we all know and love. That's on the way, and it's going to be on the way in two forms. We may get Gears 6 reveal. We may get also the Marcus Fenix collection. And now you add this new studio that is filled to the brim with storytellers and developers and artists that worked on very specific narrative-based games. The Witcher, The Last of Us, Uncharted, The Division. I mean, again, it's easy, just a bro. Newly formed studio. It could fall apart tomorrow, but I'm sorry to say, I'm here to tell you that the circling of the wagons that we talked about in many conversations, and I believe that came the way of Pong Soul, is happening in front of us. And again, folks, please don't get your stuff in a bunch. No one is discounting or forgetting that four studios for Bethesda were closed. That is unforgivable. And I will stand on that stone. But this is a big deal, C-Money. It's a big deal because
100%.
They've been cooking with this for a while, and they announce it. And I'm telling you, man, I think there's going to be something special here. Anything you want to continue adding to it?
This is the thing. Like, just to as far as like studios are concerned, right? Like, think about how many studios that have made amazing games that we love that were born from the ashes of studios that were closed or failed, right? Yeah. Listen, I can appreciate all of the feelings. I do. I get it. But like, if we look at what's happening, and again, I'm not saying that, you know, any of those people are going to come work over here, because I don't think that's a reality. But those people obviously were somewhere who they either left or got fired or whatever the case is. And now they're coming together to make something unique and special. And it's not only that, but it's in a part of the world that honestly is full of amazing talent. We get The Witcher from that area, right? We get what's the other fucker? So the damn game coming out in September. Well, Cyberpunk, that's the same studio, but excuse me, the game we're getting is September 5th. That's Stalker 2, right?
Yeah.
That's all out there. The Metro series, right? A4 or whatever those the name of the yeah, like, there's so much talent out there, and Xbox hasn't been there. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a part of the world that they don't have a first party studio in, and now they do, right? Now they're going to be able to get that type of talent into those game, into a studio that can deliver us a game. And again, you know, I see people in the chat talking about exclusive, non-exclusive. At this point, anything new going forward, I really don't give a shit, right? My thing is about what we had. Right, Halo, Gears, Forza, all that shit, that's ours, right? If they make something new and this game is going to go wherever it's going to go, I don't give a shit. You know what I do know for a fact? It's coming in the Game Pass, right?
Indeed.
And that, my friend, is what I care about, because I think people get caught up in the console war of things, right, to talk crap about different things, but they forget that at the end of the day, as a gamer, as a person who loves to play games, there's only one winning side. There's only one. And that's the side that has the platform deliver all of their first party games into a service that we pay between 10 or 12 or whatever the regular version is to $18 a month. And we get everything. Plus so many. Did you see the list boom of what we're getting in May?
Oh, dude, it's crazy. For Game Pass, it's ridiculous.
For Game Pass.
Absolutely
for
Game ridiculous. Pass. Yeah.
Insane. Lords of the Fallen? Come on, man. That's a huge game that we're going to be getting. Come on, man. There's so many games in there that are just like, wow. And they're all together. Plus Hellblade. Like, they didn't say, oh, we got Hellblade coming. F the other games. That's enough. Let's put Hellblade and maybe one or two smaller games, and they'll be satisfied. No. They could have absolutely done that. No one would have said, look at this Xbox pieces of trash, only giving us Hellblade and a few of these smaller titles in our Game Pass subscription for the back half of the month. This is just, boom. That's just 2 weeks. It doesn't count the first 2 weeks of the month, and it doesn't count the 2 weeks that are going to come after that. That's just 2 weeks of gaming, and they're still going all in. Again, I'm sorry, but at the end of the day, they know their numbers. They know what they're spending where. And if they have to look at certain things and say, okay, we need to scale back here because it's not giving us what we need, but doing that allows us to open another studio, invest more here, and give our gamers more games in the service that they all love. I'm going to take that. I'm going to sign that off every single day of my life. There's no version of that where I'm going to be like, you know what? F this. No, man. Like, we want the games to play as a service. We pay for it every single month, even though it's way cheaper than buying a bunch of games. It's still our money that we're spending. And I want the most value for my money always. And if you say you don't, then you're full of shit. Like, that's just the reality. Nobody wants to spend money and not get the most value for it ever. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, and that's the other thing, you know, when you look at the platform, and you know, we've seen people talk about it. Like, I'm leaving the platform. I'm going to PlayStation because I don't need an Xbox. I don't need an Xbox because I play on PC and I can get the games on PlayStation. You know, that's true. You can get them on PlayStation, but see, the difference is you're going to be paying $76.43 for that game when you can just go to Game Pass and download it. And if you're paying $16.99 a month, well, there you go.
Buy one game for 3 months of Game Pass with access to over 400 games.
Yeah.
One game, 76. 3 months, and actually less than that. You're still actually getting for less than one game, right? Because 3 months is only, you know, $50-something or whatever it is. Like, come on, it's a no-brainer, dude. It's a no-brainer. It's all fake narratives that people want to run with out there to throw a fit or prove a point or do something that they think they're doing. At the end of the day, like, we know it's full of shit. If you had Game Pass, you're not leaving Game Pass for this. Unless you're not much of a gamer and you only like a specific type of game, you know, like, you, I don't want to discredit people who only like one type of game, but just saying, like, if you don't need an assortment of games, then yeah, sure. Maybe you try to say, you know what, I only play one game anyway, so it's not worth it. Sure. But outside of that, if you're someone who likes to play different things, you know, it's worth it. Maybe that's why the PlayStation dudes don't see it that way, because they only like the same sad dad simulator type of game, and it's not worth it for them because they that's the only thing they rock with. But over on this side of it, we see it, man. Come on. We know that what's happening on this side is what we all dreamed of, right? Yes. When they first announced Game Pass, don't forget that this is not what we had. Game Pass was basically like a PlayStation Plus. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's all it was. There was just an assortment of games that we got. It wasn't a ton. There were typically a little smaller games. You know, it wasn't a big thing. Or older games, right? But then Phil transformed that shit, bro. Phil did this for us.
Yeah.
Call for his job.
Well, people are gonna do what they're gonna do, bro. Like, I'm not surprised by people's actions. You know, it's fine. You know, it is what it is. I'm satisfied as a consumer. I mean, that's ultimately what it is, right?
That's all that matters.
It's probably what should only matter. But some people want to take it to another level, and you know, they listen. I know that I'm covered as an Xbox gamer. I'm very excited by this news. But you know what's interesting? Now, I'm doing something in the background here, and I hate doing this on the fly because it doesn't come out good. Okay, it looks terrible, so I'm not even going to use it. What I was doing is I was actually putting a graphic together based on something that Colt Eastwood posted. I want to give Colt Eastwood some mad props because. Before we move on to the next topic, and this one is, it's the opposite of what is happening for Xbox. And we're going to be talking about what's going on with PlayStation. Now, this story seemed to get blacked out by the gaming media. The original post was from IGN. I'm incredibly surprised by it. And no one else picked it up. That I'm not surprised about. And there are a couple of really, really, really big caveats here into the direction of one platform that's already done a lot of these things and one that is going there that is not going to go over well with their fans. Now, I will get to that story in a second, but I do want to catch up on the Super Chats. We have a couple of ones here. Horse Seat drops not one, but two Super Chats. The first one of $1.50 is a super sticker. So, brother, thank you very much for the generosity. And secondly, he drops a very generous additional $2 Super Chat. And actually doesn't even say anything. So, Horse Seat, thank you, bro. We super appreciate the generosity. Now, why I was putting this graphic together is for the next Super Chat. Now, this comes the way of Wingman709. He drops a very generous $10 Super Chat. He goes on to say this. Where are the games Microsoft has announced? 21 games still have not been released that were promised the last 4 years. They need to release those before making more promises. And, you know, You're not wrong. So what I have in front of me, which I'm going to bring up right now on my phone, which I don't like doing, but I'm going to do it because this is out of out of left field. So I want to respond. Now, Colt Eastwood, who is an artist, as well as a great podcaster and a content creator, put this this list of Xbox games and DLC that are releasing in 2024 or should be releasing in 2024. And this kind of answers the question of Wigman 709 because it's a stacked deck. And you said 21 games. I hear you. And I agree 1,000%. Where are the games? Well, starting next week, you got Hellblade 2, and then the onslaught is just the gates will be broken open. You have coming out Avowed, Towerborn, Kiln, which is, of course, Double Fine's game that's supposed to be releasing this year. Stalker 2, which, again, third-party deal, but it is an exclusive for Xbox and PC. The Oblivion Remaster, which we heard in the court documents. He has here the Fallout 3 Remaster, which was also identified in the court documents as releasing this year. Now, this one is a stretch, but it's still possible, and actually, Fuzzy Belvedere, once again, seems to think that it's a possibility. Same thing with Hargeet Chani. Forza Horizon 6 is a possibility, right? Age of Mythology, again, not for me, but for a whole bunch of people here that are really going to dig that game. You have Call of Duty Gulf War. You have Contraband, which is rumored to be releasing this year. You also have the Shattered Space DLC coming in September. We're going to get our first look in June in a couple of weeks. You have Flight Simulator 2024. You have Indiana Jones in December. And you have, potentially, based on a rumor from last week, the new Doom not only getting announced at the June showcase, but you're also going to get a release date for this year. Now, hold the phone here. You think that's it? Well, no, C-Money. That's not it. Because there are two more games that we're hearing in the background that are ready to rock and roll. And that is InXile's time-traveling game, right? That is one of them.
Clockwork Revolution.
Clockwork Revolution, which looked dope when we first saw it.
And InXile, low-key, one of the best studios in existence.
Dude, they don't get the fucking respect.
Yeah, this game is going to be... See, this is my belief on a lot of these games. All of these games that they're working on right now are going to take the studio to a new level.
I agree.
Every single one of them. Every single one of them. Because they have
financial backing now.
Exactly. State of Decay 3, I think, is going to do that for Undead Labs. I think for InXile, Clockwork Revolution. And the fact that they're going first person, not that over isometric, you know, look.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be huge for them. But they low key, one of the best studios out there. And they don't get the respect. So I think this is going to make them, you know, big time.
And there's one other one. What about Compulsion Games, South of Midnight? Oh, that's another
South of Midnight, still the dopest name for a game ever. And honestly, I think really one of the games I'm most excited for. Like, I'm so excited for South of Midnight. Like, it's crazy how pumped I am for that game. It's amazing, bro. It's amazing.
Well,
but this is the thing. The one thing I will say about all of this, that, you know, you have this list, which, yes, you're right. I mean, we have so many games, you know, in the super chat. He listed, you know, there's 21 games, right? And there's probably more, obviously. But this is the problem with this, right? When you write something like this, it makes it sound like what you would like to have happen is for Phil to say, you know what? We're desperate. Let's throw these games out there so that people can feel good about the games coming out. And then when they're rushed and they're not great, right, then we're going to clown them and treat it like Redfall and then, you know, end up making one of these studios close because you want to go so hard on it because they didn't do what they needed to do. See, right now, you guys haven't seen, or we haven't seen, Microsoft's games. The ones pre-purchase of Bethesda, pre-purchase of Activision, right? These are the games that they put into motion, right, as the proper owners of these studios, right? Pretty much all the games that we got from the studios that we're working on were games that they were previously working on already, or they were the third party bad, like a compulsion that the only game they released was a multi-platform game that they made, We Happy Few, and then that's it, right? So we haven't seen any of what Microsoft said here. Go make what you want to make. We chose you, Compulsion, because we believe in your vision and we believe in your talent. Go make your game. We haven't gotten to have that release yet. We haven't seen what they're going for with any of these games as far as quality levels. And honestly, when you think about Redfall and the impact that that has had, right? Because we know literally Redfall was the kind of linchpin for why so many changes happen when it comes to Matt Booty being in charge of Bethesda. Bethesda was his own free soul, right? And Activision probably would have been the same way had that not happened. But now everyone's looked at, right? Everybody's accounted for, because the first time that they didn't account for something, they got screwed. And Phil, like a man, took that shit, but he's not taking it again. Okay, he will not. And I'm telling you right now, when you think about everything that they're doing, it's clear that they're motivated by making sure that the quality levels are where they need to be. That's why when people try to conflate the two situations between like a Bethesda having closures versus, oh, well, I'm afraid for Ninja Theory, I'm afraid for... No, this is very different situations. Understand that Bethesda, Microsoft didn't go to Bethesda and say, ooh, I want Tango, I want Arcane Austin, I want this studio, I want this studio. No. We all know what took place. Sony was trying to get exclusivity on every freaking game. They got two of them, and they were going for Starfield. Starfield was the final straw. Phil got the okay and said, we're going to buy the building. Okay. They bought the building for Starfield. Everything else that came with the building was a plus.
Yeah.
This was not Microsoft saying, wow, Tango, I see you out here in the wild. You're doing good things. I feel like if we purchase you, we can help you do more. No, no, no. This is a different type of relationship. When they went to Ninja Theory, that was a relationship that they had with Ninja Theory. And they said, we believe in you. We trust you. We want to help you do bigger and better things. We want to buy you. Same thing they did with Compulsion. Same thing they did with Undead Labs. Same thing they did with Playground. Every one of their studios pre-publisher acquisition were individual studios that they chose. In Exile and Obsidian. It's very different than purchasing something for one reason and then having a bunch of shit that comes with it.
Yes.
And then you act like I'm supposed to be beholden to every single studio that's in there as if I somehow chose them. I didn't choose them. And guess what? The ones that released something, it weren't up to snuff. Okay. And that's just what it was. And that's it. That's it. There's a very big difference. Same thing with Activision. I would say Activision in the same position. They got purchased for King, right? That's the reality of what it was.
Facts.
They got purchased for King. As much as we like to look at fucking Call of Duty as, oh my God, that's the big thing. No. No.
I mean, that's a piece mobile of it, but the reality is the mobile aspect of it.
Mobile is infinitely more important to them than Call of Duty. Just is. That is where the market's going to grow. That's just the reality of what's coming. As mobile devices get more and more powerful and more capable, it's just the reality of what it is. Okay, so that's why they're doing this, and that's why they did it. Anything else? Absolutely. They should be worried if they cannot do something that's worthwhile to Microsoft. 100%. Because they were not purchased individually saying, I want you, I want you, I want you. No. They bought the building. Okay? Sometimes when you buy a building, you got to renovate a room.
Yep.
Right? I mean, it's just what it is. Right? So, yes, I look at it very differently. In-house Microsoft purchased studios that they selectively said, I want you, I want you, I want you. Very different story. That does not mean that if Ninja Theory doesn't sell 100 million copies or whatever the hell, you know, that they're going to be closed. No, they knew what they did. Dude, bro, they made this game with 50 people, $50 million. Like, they know what they're doing. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? They know what they're doing. Well, I'm just saying, don't rush them. They're going to release the games, and they're going to be great when they're ready. And the beauty is, because we have so many games
that's the key
coming out on a constant basis, we do not need to rush shit. We don't need to rush. This new studio, who gives a fuck? 5 years, 6 years? Don't matter. By the time that game comes out, we would have had 60, 70 first-party games
released. 20 releases from first-party. You know what I think? I think what you're going to see is, even though people won't admit this, maybe you'll never hear anybody from Bethesda or from Microsoft say this publicly, but they learned a very, very valuable and expensive lesson with what was happening with Redfall. That's just what happened. The game was being made by a studio that had people there that did not want to make that game. We've heard, you know, through the different channels that they were very disappointed. The entire, almost three quarters of the team wind up leaving, right? Everybody they lost all their talent.
Gone.
Yeah.
Why are they acting like they were going to be able to make another Prey? Think about this. This is just the reality of what it is. Okay. I can appreciate the idea that Hi-Fi Rush 2 was pitched. Yes. Great.
Me too.
But if they had the team there, the core team that was going to make a big game like Prey, then maybe it would have survived. But you can't tell me, based off the fact of what we know to be factually true, that game did not sell on PlayStation and on Xbox in any meaningful capacity, that they're going to lynch a whole studio on making part two for a game that's not going to fucking sell. That makes no sense. I could appreciate the emotion involved, but use the brain for 2 seconds and you'll see that the fucking thing doesn't make sense.
They can't. I'm actually disappointed that it didn't sell on PlayStation. And a lot of their gamers made such a big deal of the game being exclusive.
Think about that. Think about how much he wanted to help them, that he was willing to risk Xbox's name by releasing the game on PlayStation as well, just to give it another shot, to be able to say, look, Satya, you see, there is value in this IP. As much as a good game might be good, that does not mean it's successful. That does not mean they'll get a sequel. Sometimes, just be happy you got the game. Hi-Fi Rush is still there. You can play it as many times as you want. It's not going anywhere. But at the end of the day, we know for a fact, Jason Schreier put out the report for Bloomberg. The majority of Arkane Austin, who made Prey, the game that people are trying to connect the two to, are gone.
Yeah,
that team doesn't exist.
They all left. Yep.
They left. So you don't have a big budget game that's going to actually push. Prey 2 would have been a huge announcement. Prey 2 would have been a huge game, but they're not going to be able to do that in that studio. Now, will there be a Prey 2? I think there will. I think Prey 2 might be made by Arkane Lyon at a future day.
Yeah.
Absolutely, because they still own the IP. This is just the reality of what it is. But we got to get out this, like this, we're trying to attach sentimental thoughts to a business. And I get it. I get it. There's people involved in that business. And I feel bad for everyone who was let go and who has to go find a job. 100%. Do I feel as bad for them as I do, you know, some people who work at local places that have a hard time getting a job and they got a job and they got let go and they don't know if they're ever going to get another job? No, I don't. If I'm being honest, I don't. This is like, you know, these are people who have education. These are people who have skill and talent. Maybe not as talented as some of the people they kept, but they still have skill and talent, and they can absolutely go find another job, right? So, again, I think at the end of the day, you know, Microsoft is in the best position they've ever been in. They are showing us, amidst all the doom and glooming that's happening around them, they said, you know what? Let's show them what we're sitting on. We just opened a new studio. How does that work with the type of narrative that you guys are trying to build about us at Xbox? Because yeah, we close studios, but we just opened the studio. So where's gonna? I'm gonna call it out. So if you're listening right now, and you know that you sat there and you talked so much shit about them closing studios and taking away jobs, I am gonna be looking. I want to see just as much hype and thankfulness for Xbox creating a new studio to give people jobs. Okay, that's where I'm at with this. I don't want to see, oh yeah, looks good. Good job, Microsoft. Or better yet, wow, opened up a new studio. We're not going to see that game for a while. Or, oh wow, look, opened up a new studio. Are they going to do this or are they going to do? No. I want to see the same level of hypeness that you did on the negative side when they lost, right? When they lost those or closed those studios. It has to bounce out. Bounce out, bro. Bounce out.
No, it's fair. It's a fair sentiment. Real quick, let me catch up on some super chats. And we're going to get to this scathing report that comes away of IGN. Again, you know, folks, I don't make it up here. I don't have no love for IGN, but I'm a man of honor and integrity. And if I'm going to use someone's wares, I'm going to give credit where credit is due. Facts. Before we get to that story, Crimpy. I believe that's how you say, he says, he dropped a very generous $2 super chat. And I butchered that name. I know I did. He says, see money in the house. Speak your truth, bro. Thank you so much for the generosity. Oh, man. Mash has done it again.
Fucking Mash.
This is now the third day in a row. The crazy generosity that he does, not just for me, for everybody in this community. Dude, he has gifted 10 double barrel gaming memberships. Brother, that is just insane. I don't even have any words other than thank you very much. We definitely appreciate it. And of course, we are going to pay it forward in a big way, come the last quarter of the year, from September to December. We got a lot of stuff we're giving away. We're giving away at least $3,700 worth of prizes. And I think it was four giveaways. We're doing the 15 copies of Stalker 2, which we're buying at full boat to give away. We're doing our Christmas, I guess you can call it a spectacular now, because we're giving away $2,000 in 2 hours, $1,000 in giveaways per hour. Like, holy, that's shit. No one's doing that. We do that because, well, people bless us all the time and we want to pay it forward. And of course, in the midst of those two big ones, because those are the bookends, in the middle, you have Mr. and Mrs. Boom's birthday bash. Our birthday, you folks get the prizes, and we give away $500 on each one of those shows. So just do the math. It's a lot of money. And obviously, if we were rich, we would just do it out of our pockets. But this is where the super chats and the channel memberships come in. They allow us to do the big giveaways. And look, again, I'm not going after any of the big channels, you know, the 100,000 dudes and dudettes, but they're not giving away $3,000 worth of prizes. They're not. And I'm not saying that they're cheap. I'm not saying that they should, but they could. And we're doing it and we're not even at 15K. So there you go, folks. We care. We love you. We appreciate the generosity. And we're going to continue to give back to the community because that's just who we are. And lastly, he does this all the time. I've been whacking off, drops a very generous £1 super chat, brother. Thank you so much for the generosity.
That's hilarious.
Okay, so listen, C-Money, this report. This is from May 2nd. Now, it is May 16th. This is 2 weeks ago. I don't know how the F I missed this story, but I know how I missed it now. This was one of those stories. It's a scathing report, and it was buried. It was blackballed. It was thrown in a box, buried, and forgotten about, and it's major news regarding what Sony is going to have happen to them and their fans. Now, is it doom and gloom? Well, I don't know, because it's not doom and gloom for me. I mean, I have a PlayStation 5. You have a PlayStation 5. We buy the games. But the same group of people on PlayStation Nation who call Microsoft out since inception of games day and date on PC are going to be eating a whole lot of crow. So here we go. Again, posted on May 2nd, the lead title of the article, C-Money, says this. PlayStation. A new first-party PlayStation 5 game will reportedly launch day one on PC in 2025. Sony files new patent to use voice for haptic feedback. Now, that is irrelevant. And I probably shouldn't even read it, but I'm reading the title.
What the hell is that?
Okay, look, that's just, we're not even going to cover that. What we are going to cover, and there are two points of contention here. One of which, in the story, it says that May of 2025 is the next new first-party PlayStation 5 game. Well, I mean, I'm no mathematician, ladies and gentlemen, but that is 12 effing months from now because we are in May. So what you're telling me, and Microsoft is getting all the smoke about studio closures, which they should. I'm not taking it away. But, of course, they equate that to they're getting out of the business. They're going third party. Xbox is dead. Xbox is dying. I'm sorry. Did you just hear the list of games that I read that are potentially coming out in 2024? We're not even talking 2025. We're talking about this year for the next 6 months or 6 or 7 months. You have a dozen plus games that are been that we know are in the works, and some that are going to be potentially shadow dropped or released on top of those games. And here, this scathing report says that the first PlayStation 5 first party game isn't coming until May of 2025. And that game, whatever it may be, is going to be day and date on PC. Now, I don't see anything wrong with that. I mean, it's certainly possible. I mean, you can play Wolverine right now on PC if you want. So the story that was written by Malik Mather says, a new report claims that Sony is planning on launching its first-party PS5 title on PC in the same day it releases on console in 2025. It has been suggested that this decision has been made, keeping in mind that the staggered release results in more financial costs and a necessity to create hype again through marketing. So the day and date thing makes sense, right? Well, Polygon co-founder and supervising editor at Wirecutter, Arthur Guise, has claimed on X that Sony will release its first-party title on PC the same day it launches for PS5. He says this, and I quote, bookmark this for next year. When certain fans get real mad about a huge first-party release hitting day and date on PC, staggered releases are wasting marketing money and hype build up for the game. And obviously, this comes on he's actually responding to Matt Piscatella, who said this. PC has been a huge part of success for Helldivers 2 in the U.S., with PC, Helldivers 2 is already the 7th highest grossing Sony published game in history. Without PC, it wouldn't even have ranked in the top 20. C-Money, can I ask a question? Why isn't anyone else covering this? I am shocked. Like, again, am I shocked that PlayStation games are going to PC? Well, absolutely not after Helldivers. But the fact that no one in the gaming media is even talking about this is bonkers to me.
They don't want to upset the PlayStation ponies, right? They don't want to upset them. That's just the fact of what it is. They know that if they say something like that, it's going to be in their DMs or right in the replies. Look at Matt Piscatella, same dude. He said that with pure confidence because that's what made sense. And then he had to walk it back. Oh, wow. I mean, actually, I wasn't saying that the PlayStation version didn't sell. Like, come on, man. If you said the PlayStation version sold, you would have said it did just as good on PlayStation as PC or just a little behind PC. But you made it very clear. Without PC, it wouldn't even be in the top 20. Fam, stop being offended by these ponies. But you know what? Turns out, he's a pony himself. That's why he didn't know that he was, you know, doing bad messaging. So he had to fix himself. But this is what they're all afraid of, right? They're all afraid of negative PlayStation news. They don't want it out there. They don't want to spread it. They love Xbox. That's why when all this stuff was happening with PlayStation bad news, IGN still put a post about Xbox doom and glooming. When everyone else is talking about some PlayStation stuff, they go and they pull something about Xbox. This is the way it is. But that's why, you know, channels like this, that's why channels like mine, that's why we have to keep doing this. And, you know, a lot of people think, well, you're spreading it out. Well, no, we have to have a place that you can actually go ahead and see the other side of the coin, see the actual truth outside of this slanted truth that they all try to put out there and, you know, make it look the way that best serves Sony, which is crazy. Like, bro, I still don't understand how Hiroki Totoki was able to come out and tell everyone in the world that their games are going everywhere. Everywhere. How the CEO of Sony came out and said the games are going everywhere. Not just to PC, not just to mobile, everywhere. But that we ignore. That doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't fit a certain narrative, kind sir.
Exactly. That we leave alone, that doesn't matter, right? So we're going to ignore that, and then we're just going to dogpile on Xbox, right? And this is the main reason I get so frustrated with the desire of certain Xbox people who want to put Xbox in their place, as if they're not constantly put in their place by ponies and the media, right? Like, it's an onslaught against Xbox, and it's frustrating as somebody who gives a shit about the brand and gives a shit about the people who are running that brand. And the reason I do, to be clear, this is not some sucking of the teat. This is a, hold on, the people who save me massive amount of money every single month.
Great point.
Massive amount of money compared to what I used to spend buying games on a monthly basis. You're going to rip them a new asshole. You're going to ask for their job. You're going to suggest that they're not doing what's best for us after we have benefited from what Game Pass is, right? Because I don't know how you can, in one side of your mouth, talk shit about people while you're also damn straight using the service they gave you. I don't flow like that. You do a kindness to me, I'm not going to turn around and crucify you anytime there's something that happens that may look a little negative. I'm sorry. They do something for me personally. This is a reality of what it is. They are personally helping me every month with Game Pass, because I don't have to buy all those games that I used to buy.
And it's not just first party. See that?
First and third, bro. It's crazy.
See that? And that's the thing. Like, look, I know people make fun of me because I try to have an adult conversation. I'm a retired dude, right? I have a great pension. I work super hard for it. And at the end of the day, like anything in life, it has a ceiling. And one of the things, and I've said this before probably a dozen times, and I don't really think it resonates with people who like the console war because they don't really look at the minutiae of the conversation. Game Pass allows every financial station to be a part of the gaming conversation. That gets lost in the console war rhetoric. That's what I don't understand. Yes, if you like PlayStation, I'm not going to fight you on it. Good on you. I like PlayStation 2, but I like it for a subset of first-party games. That's what I play it on. That's it. I don't do third-party stuff. I don't do indies there. I do everything on Xbox. I'm an Xbox guy. So be it, right?
And you're a console guy. Yeah. And you're a console guy.
And I'm a console guy.
PlayStation is going to be going PC, so this might be the very well last PlayStation that I ever buy because...
That's going to be the narrative when this happens, and you're going to see them, again, we don't name names here, not because we're afraid of anybody, but we do it out of respect. Like we don't have to go after people. It's just not something we do on this channel. So you know who the PlayStation centric channels are that have, really dug their heels into the stand about everything Xbox being negative, Xbox being here, there, and everywhere. It's not good. I am telling you, folks, Sony copies Xbox on a regular basis. They just did it with the way that they set up their two CEOs. They split them down the middle the same way they did for Sarah Bond and Matt Booty.
It's hilarious.
Right? Literally mirrored what they did. PC.
Dude, nothing changed.
No.
Nothing changed. They literally said, you're going to still do your job, Herman. You're still going to do your job, Nishino. We're just going to call you CEOs. And the one CEO position, I'm actually going to take that, and I'm just going to call myself the chairman. They literally just created a new position that Hiroki Tsutsuki put himself in that was the CEO position, and they allowed these two people to be called CEOs because, number one, they really did it for the Horizon dude, Herman Hulse, because he's the, you know, only one that was a gamer, maybe, because I don't know what we've heard of him playing games, but he was the guy making Horizon, right? He was in charge of that. They put him in charge of first party. He's mirroring Phil Spencer, right? So that's what they're trying to do, is put a name up there as a CEO that has some gaming clout, because we damn well know Nishino, whoever the fuck, well, he ain't playing no damn games. Hiroki Tsutsuki don't give a shit about no games, right? Like, they have somebody now, supposedly, that does. But they did nothing. Hiroki just said, you know what? Turns out I'm the best one to lead everything. So on top of my Sony duties, I'm going to be the chairman here. And I'm going to oversee everything that you do. So no matter what decisions you think you're making, anything that means anything is going to have to run through me. And I'm going to tell you what it is.
Hilarious. You know what's interesting? Did you just see the report? And again, let me find it, because it's in my prime time gaming. Let me find it over here. We're not going to talk about it now. Obviously, we're running out of time, but I do want to give a shout out to Everborn Saga, who actually put here that it appears that Sony is backing out of the Paramount deal for acquisition.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah, and this comes right after their financial report. So that's probably not going to happen, which, you know, again, I was very suspect on it on top of that. And you know what? Also, which I don't know if it's going to happen, because, you know, they haven't made them into production yet, PlayStation 5 Pro. Does it make any sense? Does it actually make sense? I don't know. I think we're going to talk about that tomorrow. But look, this story is, again, it's one of those stories I can't believe I personally missed. And I do believe why no one in Game Rant or IGN did the initial story. So shout out to IGN for actually saying something negative about PlayStation. I'm actually blown away. But any of the other big conglomerates, they glanced over this and they're like, yeah, we're not going to mess with that. I'm very, very shocked that no one is talking about this, because this is big news. This is platform changing news that seemed to get shoved underneath the rug. And when I was looking for it, this is the only story that came up, because I saw someone post it. I said, I didn't hear that. How come no one's talking about it? And I just, you know, typed it and did a search, and this was the only story that was printed on it. Now, maybe it happened afterwards. Maybe they printed it now. I don't know. But when I did the checking, the IGN report was the only one. And that is platform changing. And it sounds very similar to what Xbox did all those years ago. And I believe the first one that did it was Quantum Break, if I'm not mistaken, was the first game that released on PC and Xbox at the same time. And obviously, they've been doing that ever since. That's just standard fare. And they're making money hand over the fist. So a fantastic game, dude. And
so underrated.
Another game that we're not getting a sequel. Just awful. But listen, we're at the 1 hour mark. Hopefully you, ladies and gentlemen, enjoyed the show. Normally the show runs about an hour and 5 hour and 10 minutes. I think we've picked the flesh off of the bones here for this particular story. I can tell you that big changes are coming in the next couple of days. I believe there's supposed to be a big business report with Sony where they're going to unveil what their future plans are going to be. Obviously,
which it looks like that's the supposed showcase that was going to happen. That
yes,
Grubb was talking about.
Yeah, and well, last year they had a business meeting and then they had a show right afterwards. I don't know if they're going to do that here. Yeah, I think that's how it went down last year. But we'll see. I mean, listen. I mean, they got to have a show, right? Like, I hope do so. They? Anyway,
well, they don't got any games coming for a year and a half. I mean, you would assume.
That's true. That they I would mean, have there was a rumor that happened the day that the two CEOs were announced that there was going to be each one of them were going to have a game to reveal. One was going to be a remake of a classic IP, and one was going to be a new game in a long running franchise. I don't know what that is, but we'll see if that happens. No, sir, in the chat, who's been a channel member for 2 months, brother. Thank you so much for the generosity. He says Tango going elsewhere with the eyeballs. I mean, I don't know. I don't think so, because one is in Poland, one is in Japan. I mean, could they bring them over? Yes. I don't know if that's going to happen. Also,
they would have just kept them. They would have just kept them and moved them, right? They wouldn't have, like, they would have done the same thing they did to.
If this would have been a studio opening in Japan, I would say yes. And if it was Bethesda, yeah, I'd say yes. But this is Activision. And Bethesda, I know that they're owned by Microsoft, still two separate platforms, but we'll see. And we have one here from Highlander. Highlander, what's up, brother? How's everything? Welcome, as always, generous friend of the program. He says this after dropping a $5 super chat. And I looked for this. I don't know if he's being facetious or he's not. Because please DM me with this information. He says it was reported that Satya Nadella may pull Windows Central because of bad press from Jez Corden saying Microsoft's full slate of games are going to PlayStation. Did anyone else?
They can't. Yeah. They don't.
Well, they can't pull it. They don't own it. I don't know.
Yeah, they don't own it. Windows Central is independent. Well, they're not independent. They're owned by a conglomerate.
They're owned by a conglomerate, but it's not Microsoft. So no, it's
a lot of people get that misconstrued. They think that they're owned by Microsoft, but they're not.
Well, again, if that is in fact the case, and Satya Nadella said that, rest assured, we'll be talking about that tomorrow on Breakfast at Boom. Crimpy or CR Wimpy drops a very generous additional $2 super chat. It says, my friend on PS5 thinks marketed means exclusive. I mean, but that's your friend is probably a casual, right? And they're not wrong to think that, because when you think marketing, right? I mean, we're in it, all of us here in the chat, on the panel, in our shows, nice. Like we're in the trenches, so we understand it. That's why a lot of the games that have been marketed by PlayStation, they do a real good job at it. Now, you may not like PlayStation, but you got to give them credit. Their marketing is ridiculously good. And this is the first year, C-Money, that they're not going to have Call of Duty, and I think that they are effed. Me personally, especially when they don't have any games coming out. I'll say this before we get to outros and I finish off the super chats here. The perfect storm seems to be brewing for Xbox. And this is why I ask anyone that's from Xbox, if you're listening, have patience to the end of the year. You have Call of Duty marketing. You have a slate of games coming out that are going to be the best this year has released. You also are in the fourth year of your consoles, and you have an opportunity to drop the Series S to $199, package in 1, 2, 3 months of Xbox Game Pass, throw Call of Duty on the cover, and sell it during Black Friday. What you're going to have is a fever's pitch for your console. You're going to see console sales go up 100 times, and you're going to see the marketing power of Call of Duty make your box the potential next casual box, because the same casuals, and I'm not talking about the Call of Duty casuals, that's all they play. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the casual audience who play Call of Duty, who play Madden, who play FIFA, who play 2K. These games are all in Game Pass now, right now. Well, not Call of Duty, but it will be. And when Call of Duty drops all of their games in Game Pass, it's the perfect storm, C-Money. And like I said, I don't give a shit how much money Microsoft makes. They're not going to help me and Mrs. Boone buy our first home, right? We're going to have to do that the old-fashioned way, roll up the sleeves and work super hard, which is what we're doing. But I'm just saying from a Xbox guy's perspective, the doom and gloom, folks, I'm here to tell you, there's no doom and gloom. There is only upwards for Xbox. And especially if you're a consumer like us, you're winning. You know, just wave the W like this because you won. You got Game Pass. That's it. We have Adidas 20 drops a very generous $5 super chat and says ginger ale / Dr. Pepper. Yeah, those are my drinks. I like ginger ale with a little hint of lime. That's, you know, as crazy as I'm going to get. And of course, mustard and olives.
God damn it. Damn it, Adidas.
I love it. That's great, man. And you know what's funny? He puts an olive there on top of that.
That's fucked
oh
up.
Oh, my God. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you had as much fun as we did. Thank you so much. We had over 800 live viewers. Again, that's across Twitter and YouTube. And we're chugging along. It's a slow crawl, but we're almost at 14.4. Nice. We're doing good on the subs. If you're finding the channel for the first time, you enjoyed the conversation, please consider subscribing. Hit the bell icon if you want to get even more generous. Every time I go live, and I do live content Monday through Friday, and I don't miss a beat unless, you know, Mrs. Boom is out under the weather or I'm sick. We do this 20 plus shows a month. And we follow, you know, we try to do the breaking news. We try to bring everything that's well researched. So again, consider subscribing. Hit the like button on your way out. But see, Money, we got to get you out of here. But before we do that, let's sell your brand, brother. Obviously, you guys are coming off of a successful, hugely successful campaign out of PAX East. You saw numbers that you've never seen before. So congratulations once again. I've told you that 100 times. I'm going to say 101 more. Love the work that you and the missus and the kids are doing. Please sell your brand. Tell everyone where they can check out all of your shows that include Him, Her, and Dev, which is something new that you've added. And more importantly, where can people follow you on social media and send you mustard nudes?
Oh, goddamn. Room. Don't advocate for that. Fuck, Boom. Oh, my God. Well, first of all, thank you, brother. I appreciate you for having me here, man. You know, I love doing Thursday shows, so it's always a good time. So you can follow me right there, right here on X or Twitter, C-Money Forever. As far as our channel is concerned, we do have a channel. It's called On Point for Gamers. We do 4, sometimes 5 shows a week. We have our Sunday show that we do at 10 a.m. Eastern time called Morning Quest with Doodle and C-Money. Doodle is my wife. We have a great time. Very chat-focused show. We missed this past Sunday because it was Mother's Day. So definitely looking forward to this upcoming Sunday, popping off again. It's always a good time. And then we have our Tuesday show, which is Her, Him, and a Dev, which is a phenomenal show. It's a spinoff or kind of like an evolution of Her, Him, and the Guests that we used to do, where we had a bunch of YouTubers and content creators come on the show and we would interview them. We've pretty much interviewed everybody that we're going to interview. And because of PAX, like you mentioned, Boom, we made tons of, you know, new contacts in publishing, game publishers and game developers. So we said, you know what, let's go ahead and let's start that show. So we have a show called Her, Him, and the Dev, where, you know, we interview publishers, developers, and have them on and, you know, give us some, you know, inside baseball as to what it's like to be part of a publisher, be part of a developer, you know, what does it mean? What does it mean to them? What are these, you know, the scary parts of it? What are the good parts? Like, there's so many different things, and we've had some phenomenal interviews this past week. This past Tuesday, we had the phenomenal team over at Astral Clock Tower Studios. They're working on an indie game called Crystalla, which, if you haven't heard of that, Check it out. KRISTALA. Such a dope game. We played it at PAX. Fell in love with the game, fell in love with the team. It's a female-led studio. Three very strong women who are, you know, running a studio. It's theirs, and they have a huge, you know, pretty big team. And the game is dope, man. If you follow them on Twitter, they have so many updates that they're constantly doing. But check out the interview. It was Tuesday. Go check it out. It's such a good one. A lot of good insight in there. And then we have our main podcast, our the OG podcast, we call it, which is the On Point Gaming Podcast, where it's typically with me, Doodle, and our son, Madman. And it's on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Eastern. And that is a great time, so come check us out there. And then we do Friday night show, the night shift, Let's Talk Gaming. That's at 6 p.m. Eastern time. We may be moving the time because our earlier time is getting a little congested with the kids, like things we have to do. So it's been tough to hit that six. So we might be pushing it back. But that show has our homie Hargeet Shani, who's in that show. We also have officially added Demo Flow Gaming to that show. So it's Hargeet Shani, Demo Flow, myself, and Doodle. And then we typically will have another guest. And this week we actually have Next Gen Nero, who's going to be coming on the show. He is on Aim Down Sights with Retri, the homie, and Red Panda, Red Dead Panda. And I didn't know who he was until he was on that show. And then, you know, I started following him and seeing his things, and turns out this dude is an Xbox dude. All right, to be clear, he is not a weak-kneed fool. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's out here and he's repping. He don't give a shit. He's playing games. He reviews games. Super dope dude. Can't wait for him to be on the show tomorrow night. So that's gonna be really dope. So yeah, man, come check us out. I did just drop the link in the chat. You know, appreciate you guys coming. We love hanging out with the community. A lot of our homies are here right now that we see on our show, so you know, thank you guys for the support. But yeah, man, boom, appreciate you, bud.
All right, well, good, great stuff as always. Love the work that you guys are doing, and the continued work you can do with the community. Big thank you to the over 800 people that tuned in. Once again, a big thank you to the super chats that were dropped today, as well as the continued support through channel membership. And of course, I'm going to close out the show with something that's incredibly important to me, folks. Hopefully one day it'll be important to you. And that's something that my dad taught us when we were kids. And he would say, Craig, treat others how you want to be treated. And also, it doesn't cost anything to be nice. You live by those rules, son. I can guarantee you, you're going to have an awesome day. So take care, everyone. We'll see you next week on the newest episode of X Vlog Live, or of course, in a breaking news special. Take care, everyone.